to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 12. To whom he said, "This is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear. Throughout the Old Testament, God was trying to speak to the children of Israel. And the Bible says they wouldn't hear. He wanted to lay something upon them. He wanted to give them something, and they wouldn't hear. And so tonight or today, I just want to talk on this subject. This is the rest. This is the rest. Jesus, one more time, Lord, I come to you and ask for your help. Lord, I ask that you would be with me, that you would help me, Lord, to speak your word. God, I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak, Lord, they would come to life, Lord, in someone's heart and life, Lord, that they would be more than just words, but God, that it would be your word speaking through me. And God, I know and I recognize that on my own I cannot do this, but God, I need your help. God, I need your touch right now, and God, I need your strength, and I need, most importantly, your anointing. And so I ask right now for your anointing as I preach your word. Let these words go forth and touch someone's heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the rest. From the creation of man until now, there has always been an ordained rest that God has implemented. On the seventh day after the creation of this world, the Bible lets us know that God rested. It wasn't because he was tired. It wasn't because he was weary. How many understands this morning that God doesn't get tired? It doesn't matter what he is doing. He's not getting wore out. He's not struggling to get it accomplished. He did not rest because he became weary or because he became tired. He did not rest because the creation of the world taxed his strength or even his intellect. When you think of all the intricacy that it took to create this universe, and yet it didn't even tax the Almighty's brain. It didn't even tax his intellect. He had no struggles. He simply spoke it into existence. He simply said, "Let there be," and there was. He simply said, "I want this to happen," and it happened. It wasn't his rest was not because he was tired. It was simply because God wanted to institute a rest in which the weary could come and rest. Amen. Now, when I go out up here, do you guys hear me okay? Does it go out there too? It's out there, it's loud? Because I can't hear myself. All right, well, we'll just have to deal with it. I can't talk softer. I can't even hear myself. It was because God wanted to institute a rest in which we who become weary and can become tired and can become taxed can find comfort and strength. And while this rest is alluded to in many places in the Bible and in really the first four books of the Bible, it is alluded to many times. It is in the book of Deuteronomy that I want to talk to us from. And it is in the book of Deuteronomy that it begins to take shape for us. It is here that Moses is recounting the journey. He's talking about his new creation, or I'm sorry, he's talking about this new nation. He's talking about how they were formed and how God brought them out. We understand the story that they went into Egypt. They became slaves in Egypt, and God brought them out and created in them a new nation. And here Moses is recounting this. He is bringing this to pass. He is talking about this, and he is letting the children of Israel know what took place and what happened, and showing them how God with his strong hand brought them out. Amen. He is showing them how he brought them to this place. And they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. And Moses wanted to make sure that when they got there, they would stay in right relationship with God. I want you to catch this. Moses in the book of Deuteronomy wanted to make sure that when they got to the promised land, they would stay in right relationship with God. This is so critical, because this is so difficult when God has brought us out, when God has changed our lives, when God has molded us and he's made us and he's brought us from this place or that place, and he's starting to do great and mighty things in our lives. It's important that we understand we cannot forget where he's brought us from, and it is our duty as children of God to remain in right relationship with him. So it is here that we read in Deuteronomy 5 and 14, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou." I want you to understand who this rest was to be for. If you remember back when I was talking about and been teaching about the gift of the Holy Ghost, it was Peter who said, "God is no respecter of persons." It was Peter who said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." I want you to understand that even in the book of Deuteronomy, when this rest was initially taught, it was for everybody. There was no discrimination on who it was for. He said, it don't matter who you are. Manservant, maidservant, it doesn't matter, animal, creature, it doesn't matter. There's no discrimination. But I want you to notice what he says. "And remember thou that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath." I want you to understand the purpose of the Sabbath was to remember where God brought them from. It was to remember they were supposed to rest on that day and think back. "I used to be, I once was, but now I'm found. I once wasn't serving God, but now I once was a slave in Egypt. I once was bound by iniquities and sins. I once was held captive, but now And he commands them to keep the Sabbath. The word Sabbath in its simplest form simply means rest. To rest from your labor, to stop the work that you're doing. Now I want you to see what God told Moses when he brought them out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 31, it says this, and don't worry, I hope to get somewhere. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a
How many remember? I hope I'm laying this out right, because I want you to get this. You guys do understand that I am correlating the Holy Ghost. Okay? Because there was a sign of the Holy Ghost. There was an evidence that took place. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, which we're going to get to. It was fulfilled in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost. I'm not going to rehash all that because I've already gone over all that. But this was, he says, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. It was a sign to them and to him of their covenant relationship. I want you to hold on to this sanctified and this here for a minute, because this sign, it was the Lord who sanctified them. And I'm going to come back to that. But something happened along the way. God said, I want this to be a sign between me and you forever. I want this to be a sign that you and I have forever. There is a rest that I want to give you. But something happened along the way, as it does so many times. What God has ordained in our life, what God wants to use in our lives, we begin to take for granted. Let me repeat that. I want you to get this. What God wants for your life and what God has ordained for your life, how easy it is for us to take it for granted. Let's work on this again. I need some help. What God ordained and what God wants to use in our lives, we begin to take for granted. What was once so special to us loses its luster, and we begin to cut a corner here, or we miss something there, and we start to do it no longer out of a passion, and no longer out of a zeal, and no longer out of a drive to serve God. What we begin to do is simply to do it out of a ritual and out of a habit. And we do what we do simply because it's what we've always done. And I come to church on Sunday, and I pray on Monday, and I read my Bible on Tuesday. But the passion, the drive, the zeal. Why is it that when a person comes to God and God does something so miraculous in their life that they're so passionate about it? But those of us who have served God for so long, oh, I stand right there, 39 years, and we lose the passion, and we lose the zeal, and we lose the desire. And I do it just because it's what I do. It's what I've trained myself to do. Oh, there's nothing wrong with having some good habits, but I must be careful that I'm simply not doing it out of a habit. But the love for God, the desire for God is still so real in my life that when I bow my knees in prayer on Monday and on Tuesday, that there's something inside of me that says, I just want to get alone with God. I just want to have some time with Him. I just need to feel His presence. What was once so special loses its luster. What was once so... Wow, I can't believe what God has done. Is now... Oh, let's get on to the next thing. And it is now just a shell of what it is supposed to be. And it's done merely out of form. Why do you think, I don't mean to go here, I know I quote this a lot, but why is it that the scriptures tell us in the last days there will be a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof? Why is it that that verse is there? I'll tell you why. Because we who have served God and love God must be careful that it's not just done out of a ritual and out of a habit and doesn't just become a form of what we do. But there's something burning on the inside that says, I just love him. I just want to be with him. I can't wait to get to the house of God so that I can shout, so that I can thank him, so that I can bless the Lord. This is exactly what takes place to the nation of Israel. This rest or this Sabbath that is spoken of in Exodus. It's reiterated again in 1 Chronicles 23:31, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbath, in new moons, and on the feasts by the number according the order commanded unto them continually before the Lord. It was supposed to be something that was done continually. And so they kept it year after year, month after month, week after week, but not out of thankfulness, not out of love, not out of honor to God. Let there be glory and honor to Jesus, glory and honor. It was no longer done out of a thankful heart of where he brought them from. It was no longer done out of a thankfulness inside of them. No, it was, well, let's just get this sacrifice over with. No change in their life, no marking of difference, no repentance, no transformation, just the ritual of a Sabbath. Don't worry, I'm not standing here to argue Saturday or Sunday Sabbath. I'm just wanting to show you what took place. What was supposed to be an ordained day between them and God, a day of rest, a time of rest. Amen. Understand what that meant. Oh, I can read it in Hebrews where it says it wasn't for a specific day. He didn't come to institute the day. He came to institute the rest. It was the rest that was important. We get caught up in the day and we'll argue and argue and argue about the day and lose the importance of what he went when he said, it's not just about the day, it's about the rest. It's about what I'm going to do in your life. No change, no repentance, no transformation, until God finally speaks to the prophet Isaiah, and he says this to them in Isaiah 1:13, bring no more empty oblations, incense is an abomination unto me, your new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. I want you to notice, because they stopped going in with a pure heart, with a whole heart, that said, I'm going in the right manner before him. He said, your getting together is iniquity. There needs to be something inside of us. I don't take this for granted. I can't take this for granted. I can't come in here and just go through emotion.
Amen.
And just go through a Sunday. You know, I love to play a bass guitar. I'm no good at it, but I like to play it. But you know why I don't? Besides the fact it's out of tune, broken, I'm no good. But besides that, you know why I don't? It's because I feel confined. And something inside of me wants to jump. And something inside of me wants to raise my hands. And something, and see, my brain doesn't work. Some people can multifunction. And they can do two things. Brother Louis can do 15 things at one time. I can't do that. For me, it's one thing or another. And so I'm standing there and I'm playing and something's bubbling in me and I just can't. Until I have to say, you know what? That's got to sit aside and I just got to throw my hands up to heaven. Why? Because there's something burning. I can't just go through an emotion. He says, your meetings are your new moons, your appointed feasts. My soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And you guys think I preach tough. Listen to Isaiah. And when Isaiah wasn't trying to win any popularity contests. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Thank you, Jesus. Look, our Pentecostalism, we have our traditions, we have our things we do, and we must be careful that we're not doing it simply out of an. That when I raise my hands, that I sincerely lift them. That I'm not just doing it because I see my neighbor beside me doing it, and it's what I'm supposed to do at that spot. Oh, you ready? When I clap my hands, I'm not just doing it because everybody else is and someone started the applause. No, I clap my hands unto God with a voice of triumph. And I don't just clap my hands, for I clap them for a reason and for a purpose. There's something that's boiling on the inside that I've just got to express it. I hate to use the analogy. I didn't even know. I wasn't planning on going here. I did not plan on going here. Fortunately and unfortunately, I've spent a lot of time at baseball fields watching my boy play baseball. And I've watched claps and I've watched shouts and I've watched all kinds of craziness. And we're talking for 11-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old kids. People going crazy. But you know what they're doing? It's out of their heart. And we must be careful when we say, I'm not emotional. Because the fact of the matter is, everybody's emotional about something. You are passionate about something. We must be careful that our passion is for the right things. My passion is for the things of God. probably want John back. It was through this that God was saying, oh, I'm sorry, I might as well keep going. I want you to notice what he says, because he didn't leave it. He didn't leave them here. He said, watch this. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away your evil doings. From before mine eyes, cease to do evil. What were they doing? They were taking the things of God for granted. They were offering the sacrifices and offering the oblations and going through the feast simply out of a ritual and a habit, but it wasn't from the heart. And God said, wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away your evil doings. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It was through this that God was saying, I've had enough of your rituals. I've had enough of your going through the motions. He was saying, this is not the way the rest was supposed to be. He says, no, I have a rest for you. He says, I have a rest I want to give you. It's going to transcend a day. It's going to transcend a feast. It's going to go beyond your rituals. It's going to go beyond what you just go through and what you do. It transcends all of that. This rest that I want to give you, it will go beyond the physical, and it will step into the realm of the supernatural and of the spiritual. And so here it is, Isaiah, who had just condemned their Sabbaths, makes this prophetic statement in Isaiah 28:11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. He said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. He says, what I'm going to give you, what I want to speak about, is a rest that goes beyond. But they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't hear. Instead of listening, they rejected this further. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he's going to speak to this people. That's what took place on the day of Pentecost. That's what happened. That's what was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Instead of listening, they rejected this further. And the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, how many understand that there was like 400 years of silence between the Old and New Testament, right? There was a period of time. And guess what they did? Instead of coming back to God, instead of taking this seriously, they just added more laws. They just added more rituals. They just added more things that they needed to do so that they could try to keep this in a ritualistic form. How often, hear me today and hear me well, how often, I hope I'm speaking to somebody here today. I believe this is for somebody. How often, when we try to get our lives turned around, that we still try to do it under our own power. We start moving towards God. But I do it under my own power. I do it under my own strength. I try to change things on my own and fix stuff on my own. And instead of surrendering 100% to God and saying, God, I give this all to you, I say, well, let me fix a little bit of this here, and let me work on a little bit here, and I don't necessarily, let me just do this and let me do that. And I'm sorry, what God says is you just need to come to me with your whole heart. Hallelujah. Lay all that aside. Stop trying to do it under your own power. Hallelujah. Somebody hear that today. Don't do it under your own power. It never ends well. When I try to do it under my own power, it only leads to more rituals. And it was to this time period that Jesus stepped onto the scene and offered this new hope again. Remember Isaiah said, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. For this is the rest. For this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing." And Jesus, after the 400 years of them adding more stuff and trying to do it themselves and trying to put this on and trying to do that, it was Jesus who said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus wasn't saying that you're not going to get physically tired from time to time, that in this life there may be issues and there may be struggles and there may be things that you fight with. But let me tell you that when you drink of the water of life freely, I'm here to tell you that there is a refreshing that takes place. He said there you will find rest for your souls. Look, I like to take some time off from time to time, and I like to enjoy myself and relax from time to time. But let me tell you something. There's no rest that will take the place of this rest. There's no physical vacation that can do what this rest will do. Let me tell you this, you can go on a vacation and come back more stressed out than you were when you left. Because now on top, you have some bills that you didn't have before. But when you get this rest into your souls, when you find that, that's where the scriptures all come into place. "Now there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. That's when all those passages come into play, that greater is he that is within you. That's where those passages come into play. You know why sometimes the yoke of Christ isn't easy and why the burden isn't light? Can I answer that for you real quick? Because I add more of my junk on top of his burden. I add more of my stuff. I try to do it my own way, and I keep fighting against it, and I keep adding on to myself. Look, the Bible says he won't put on anything more than you can bear. Amen. Isn't that what it says? But the Bible does not say that I won't. The Bible does not say that I won't add more than I can bear. The reason we have a world that's living in depression, that's living in all these anxieties, that's not sure how they're going to make it from day to day and week to week, and they don't know what they're going to do, and they get on this and they go on that, and they try this and they try that. Let me tell you why it is. Because we've added more on our life than we can bear. And Jesus is saying, throw all that down, lay aside everything. every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? Because he gives us rest unto our souls, and his yoke is easy. I'm wrapping up right now. In closing, I want you to go to this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. I told you just a minute ago to hang on to that sanctify. He says, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When we understand who Jesus is, when we understand that Jesus is the Lord of all, when we understand who he is, this rest is a sign between you and between him, that you are in this time of sanctification, that his Spirit, let's all stand. I want to help somebody here in closing. Let me tell you what you need right now. Maybe you feel a little dry. Maybe it feels like God seems to be a ways away. Yeah, just can't seem to reach him. I just can't seem to touch him. I just can't seem to find him. Could it be today that you're trying under your own means and under your own power? And what he's looking for is total surrender. What he's looking for is a passion, a drive, and a zeal. And maybe today what you need to ask him for is, Jesus, restore back to me that passion I once had when I first found you. When you were first real in my life. When you changed me. When you took some junk from me. When you first transformed my life. What I need right now, Jesus, is a fresh passion. He didn't just say he was going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. He said he's going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There was going to be something along with it. There was going to be something that happened. Someone needs here today. A fresh touch. A fresh fire. If I could change analogies, a fresh drink of the waters of life so that I could find this refreshing, so that I could find this rest. Stop chasing it in stuff. Stop chasing it in jobs. Stop chasing it in houses. Stop chasing it. Look, I'm not against doing those things. But let me tell you where you will find rest. The only true rest you will find is in Him. Someone needs to make that commitment to Him today. But Jesus, I make a fresh commitment to you that I have a fresh pursuit, a fresh chase, a fresh desire, a fresh passion. Maybe you haven't picked up your Bible in a while. Let me encourage you to go home today and pick it up. Maybe it's been a while since you knelt down to pray. Let me encourage you today to find a place, to find a place that you can stand before Him, that you can kneel before Him, that you can call out to Him and say, Jesus, I want to restore this back to you. I don't want to become what they were. I don't want to do what they did. I don't want it to become something I just do for granted, but I want it to be because I love you. Come, come, find a place. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. If you've made some mistakes, and if you've sort of taken them for granted, and if you've kind of gone through the motions, and if you've lost the passion, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He wants to transform it. He wants to change it. He wants to remake it. He wants to remold it. Let Him touch you fresh. Let Him touch you fresh today. Let Him touch you fresh today.